Let us all say amen. And want to thank all those that have gone before me in making this worship service acceptable to the Lord by offering prayers, allowing for us to commune with the Lord, educating us on giving back to the Lord as the Lord has blessed us. And then those spiritual songs that were sung, giving praise and honor to God for his son and that which he has done for us while in this life we live. I want to thank everyone for being with us on this afternoon to study another portion of God's word. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're not a Christian, I hope that at the close of this message, something is said, as the Bible uses the word, that will persuade you to obey the Lord. That's a decision that you have to make, that you have to see your plight. You have to see your situation and your relationship with the Lord and make a decision to obey the Lord. The Bible teaches us in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah recognized the fact that he shouldn't lead himself when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." If a person is going to take those steps to heaven, we'll talk about eternal life today, those steps must be directed by someone other than themselves. When Jesus did his Sermon on the Mount, as it is called, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, Jesus said to them, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Jesus gave them a location, metaphorically, where they could seek the Lord and find. He said, "Do this first. Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness." And so when Nicodemus in John chapter 3 met with Jesus by night, Jesus shared with him how one can get into the kingdom. When he answered and said unto him in John chapter 3 and verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus made it a fact that a person must be born again. And this birth is a spiritual birth. Yeah. And there are those that are living today that refuse to be born again. Now, I'll talk about that this afternoon. But I want to encourage you to do as Jesus said. You have to be born again. And those that were born again in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 on the first assembly of those to worship God after the resurrection of Christ in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, that kingdom is now called the church. And the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as to be saved." And I want to make this point clear. You either saved or you lost. You either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to Hades or hell. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You either one or two. John makes that clear in his writing that we'll talk about on this afternoon. I want to share that with us. That you have to do a self-examination. You know, sometimes we live in this life, and what we sometimes we don't do, as we find written in the scriptures, what the prodigal son did in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 17. The Bible says, in verse 16, "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." See, sometimes when we are living away from the Lord, the Bible says, no man gave unto him. He has chose the wrong path. And sometimes in life, we have to make the decision. Sometimes we want people to prod and poke and make people. No, no. Sometimes the person needs to make the decision. Note what the Bible says in Luke 15 and 17. And when he came to himself, sometimes we got to look inside of ourselves, and sometimes for those that are living outside the Lord, and we want people to go chasing them and running after them, but sometimes those same individuals need to look inside themselves and look at the life that they're living away from God, especially those that are Christian who have left the Lord, and come back to the Lord and do the things that are found written in the Bible. On this afternoon, we want to speak from the subject that God has given to us, John wrote, eternal life. That's the subject title from the verse that we'll read about, that God has given to us eternal life. And that's verse number 11, our scripture reading. Thank him for reading scripture on this afternoon. So the Apostle John writes to Christians that God has given to them the possibility of life eternal. Yeah, God has given to Christians the possibility of eternal life. Let's look at the text and be look at a few verses on this afternoon, and the message will be yours. But I want to go back to verse 8, where the Bible says, 1 John 5 and 8, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, and the water, the blood. And these three agree in one. So John wrote to those Christians living then, during that time, they had three witnesses that Jesus was who he is. He said that it was the spirit, the water, and the blood. We said on last week, in verse Matthew 3, 13 through 16, the spirit witnessed this. It was the first to witness both the baptism and the death of Christ. In Matthew chapter 3, the Bible says, in verse 13 through 16, 16 says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, that's the water, went up straightway out of the water, him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. So the water was the second witness. It witnessed the beginning of Christ's ministry. And then in John 19, 33, in the verses 34, we'll read, the Bible says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The third witness, blood, was at the close of his ministry. And so the Bible says these three agree in one. And then John continues in his letter, verse 9, if we receive the witness of God, of men, excuse me, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. And so John writes, if one can believe the testimony of men, we then ought to surely believe the testimony of God concerning Jesus Christ. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the proof that God gave of his Son. The witness is the Holy Spirit, which gave us the Word of God, which is the basis of our faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. Those of us today, Christians, as we study the Word, it abides in us. And that's why John said, he that believeth on the Son has the witness in himself. We have the Word of God in us, and we believe that. We believe those things written that John said about his Son. I want to say now, as we're talking about those that are have not obeyed the Lord, John said something, the same John, in writing in John chapter 8, in the verses 24, John said that Jesus said, John wrote, excuse me, and I say therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sin. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. Jesus told him that. And if you die in your sins, he told him in verse 21, where he go, you cannot come. So John wanted them to know that you have to believe and accept the things written about God. And then he says, and this is the record or the proof that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. John said, this is the record. This is the record. This is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life. And he said that this life is in his Son. John also wrote in John chapter 17, and the verse is number 3. John 17 and 3, talking about this life, John says, that Jesus said, excuse me, John wrote it, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. John wrote, in order to have eternal life, one of the qualifications, you have to know God the Father. And then you also have to know the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And John said, Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father, they cometh unto me. So we have to be taught about God. We have to be taught about Jesus. And you have to have a heart to want to know those things. Going back to our letter, the Christian has the prospect or possibility of eternal life in the future. The Christian, only the Christian, has the prospect or the possibility of eternal life in the future. Let's look at this last verse of John on this afternoon, and we'll open it up. And again, the message is yours this afternoon. John said, verse 12, He that hath the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. And so I want to make it clear that in John's writing, he leaves it clear with no doubt. My message title is that God has given unto us eternal life. John wrote in verse 12 that if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. Eternal life is conditional on the Christian keeping the commandments of God. Listen to Matthew chapter 19, and the verse is number 16. Beginning at verse 16. Again, eternal life is conditional on the Christian keeping the commandments of God. The Bible records in Matthew 19:16, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He asked Jesus, just tell me what good thing that I need to do that I may have eternal life. And he, talking about Jesus, said unto him, Why callest thou me good? He said, there is none good but one, and that is God. Watch his answer. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus said, if you're going to enter, so notice it's something that we have to enter. He said, you have to keep the commandments that God has given. And I want to share this because I know we're living in a time now that life itself is becoming challenging. We have this variant, this coronavirus, and it's running rapid, and if we're not careful, Christian can lose focus. And so I want to share with us in this time that we're living in two scriptures that hopefully will help us. The first one I give in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, talking about obtaining, because in order to enter into eternal life, we have to live in this life. And so Paul wrote to those Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:12. He said, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Be careful how you're standing, because any of us and all of us can fall. He then said, There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, what you are going through, you are not the only one. I'm not the only one. It's common. Somebody else is experiencing the same thing that I'm experiencing. Paul said, But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. Paul said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, sometimes none of us know what many of us are going through in life. Sometimes things look calm on the surface, but we don't know the challenges that each of us have to live faithful, to keep the commandments of God. And so Paul wanted to encourage them that God is the one that will allow you to escape. He makes the way. Now, the way may not be the one that you want, but it's the way that God has made. And the reason that he made it the way he did, Paul said, was in order for you to be able to bear it. You can bear and deal with the temptations, the trial of life. And then, second scripture I want to support, where Paul also, in his second letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness, tribulation." He said, you do it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he used a metaphor here to say that when you're going through stuff, it's like being a soldier. You have to endure it. Then he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affair of this life. You know, sometimes we have to minimize the stressors, the anxieties that we put ourselves through in this life. You know, life sometimes can become overwhelmed. We talked last week about overcoming or defeating the devil. Sometimes you can defeat the devil when you lighten your load. Some of those things that you are stressing over, some of those people that you are worrying about, if you don't have direct responsibility for those individuals, sometimes we have to pray for them if they are not under our care, meaning parents having the care of children, of raising them, and the trials that come with them. And then now we have where those that are parents, you have parents now that you are having to care for. They are under your care. And so we have to deal with the challenges that come with that. Paul said in verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So in this life called Christianity, as a Christian, I can't do stuff underhandedly and think it's going to come out right. Paul told them that if you are competing for this crown, heaven, you got to do it lawfully, and lawfully means keeping the commandments of God. Eternal life is not a present possession of the Christian. It is a promise. Listen to the word of God as I close. Mark chapter 10, and the verse is number 29. Mark chapter 10, and the verse is number 29. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, a brethren, a sisters, a father, a mother, a wife, a children, a land for my sake and the gospel's. If my leaving that is for Christ's sake and the gospel, he said, but he shall receive a hundredfold, he said, now in this time. Be houses, it could be brethren, sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecution. And then he says, and in the world to come, eternal life. So eternal life is the world to come. Jesus says to those that are following him. And then in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, Titus chapter 1 and the verse is number 2, Paul wrote to Titus and says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So eternal life is a possibility in the future. Eternal life is one that is in the world to come. And Paul reminded Titus that eternal life is a hope of every Christian as we do our best to keep the commandments of God. He said, because God cannot lie, and this is a promise that God made before the world began. And then back in 1 John chapter 2, John even said it himself in verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. So God has given unto us eternal life, or the possibility of eternal life, as Jesus told the young man, keep the commandments of God. He said, but if thou wilt enter into eternal life, keep the commandments of God. And I want to tell us that no one goes to heaven on faith only. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, you have to add those seven graces or characteristics to your faith that you be pleasing to God. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, I want to say to you, you can become a child of God. You can become a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. You can be headed toward eternal life, but you first have to obey God. You have to do what God has said. You don't do what God has said. You know, the Bible tells us in John 5:40, and Jesus said this, and you will not come to me that ye might have life. In order to come, in order to have eternal life, you got to come through Jesus. And coming through Jesus means obeying what Jesus said. And I want to say to you, as I turn to my last scripture, Romans chapter 6, to realize that you are in your sins right now. You're in your sins. You have to stay that way. So Paul reminded those Christians in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Notice what Paul said, know ye not that so many of, notice he included himself, of us as were baptized. As Brother Brooks said this morning, Paul had to be baptized also. He had to obey the Lord and become a Christian. As were baptized, many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So to become a Christian, one must hear that gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that Jesus Christ died for our sin. We talked about in our message how they pierced him in the side. He died a humiliating death on the cross. On the cross. He died for our sin. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day, never to die again. What you must do, you must die to sin, according to verse number 2. You must be buried in water. That's called baptism. Verse number 4. You also must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to Acts 8:37. Then you're water baptized, and now you have a new life in Christ. You can't go to heaven. You cannot have eternal life unless you obey the Lord. There's anyone today that accepted the invitation, get with the person that invited you on the call, that you may do what God has said, that you may be on your way to eternal life. Thank you very much for listening this afternoon.